You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we are heard worldwide. We are globally known at this point, Miss Ellen.
That's right. Woo-hoo. Locally respected, globally known. For sure.
That's right. And people can tune in and listen live to our show.
That's right. Just tune in to 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, all of our shows are archived also on 1510wwbc. You just hit that on demand button. You can pick us by date. We're here every Monday here at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And then, of course, we share all of that on our Facebook page, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and, of course, on Sita's personal page as well.
Yeah, I don't know why, but everybody seems to like it better than the show's page.
Well, so it doesn't matter.
Why mess around with something
because
that's
they know
working?
You, right? They remember your name.
So for listeners who are tuning in today, Danny is running the board for us. Yeah, hey, Danny.
Yay,
hey, your voice is getting more radio-ish as time goes by. Yeah. Allie is here. Our resident guest, Allie Tambor, is back, and she's graduated from a walker to a cane.
To a cane.
Thank you. That's wonderful. And Ellen, of course, my right hand, the girl, the lady, the friend that makes the show happen. Ellen, thank you for booking all our fabulous guests as well, and I understand you have a great guest coming on next week as well. We'll talk about that next week. And today, what a great lineup. We sit here on Mondays as though it's part of our living room, an extension of where we live, actually. And we have conversations. We chat with people about whatever they want to chat about, whatever they want to. Some of them sponsor a segment like today, and some of them, our show's sponsors, will bring them on for us because it's community radio.
Exactly.
Right, Allie?
Exactly.
And how wonderful it is to have a voice on community radio.
Yes. Yes.
Ellen?
And be able to chat back and forth, ask questions. Hopefully there's some of the questions that you all out there in listening land are thinking about as well, and we're helping you understand some more too.
Great. And we tell our listeners and the people who support our shows, our great sponsors, that our show is fun, it's exciting at times, it's educational, informative, and boy, do we give out valuable information for people, whether they want to save money, buy a home, open a bank account, get on social media, don't get on social media, healthcare. It's no different, right, Ellen?
Yeah, everything. Absolutely. And anybody who wants to come on the show, that's the cool part, is we give an open voice to everybody so that, that way we can
we are
make
really
sure that
we're balanced.
Yeah, but I want to hear both sides. You know, I think you and I are share in that. And I think that's what the success has been over the last 14 years as well, is that we want to share in the fact that we want to hear both sides of every issue so that that way our listeners as well as us can make informed decisions on who we're supporting and what we're supporting.
And which, yeah, of course,
yeah,
why not?
Yeah.
So today's no different. We've got two great guests today coming in, on calling in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Our first guest is the executive director of Florida Voices for Health. His name is Scott Darius, and he is the executive director. He graduated from the University of Florida.
Woohoo!
School of Law. Yoo-hoo, woo-hoo! My daughter went to UF.
Go Gators.
And he also completed his bachelor's degree at the University of Florida with a major in political science. He is a friend. He is calling in today to speak about Medicaid, Medicaid expansion, the Health Summit, and a lot of stuff. And then our second segment is with the Democratic Party, Nikki Fried. The beautiful Nikki Fried will be calling in the second segment. So for listeners who are tuning in, stay tuned and let's chat with Scott Darius. He's on the phone. Hello, Scott, and welcome to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Hey, good afternoon. Always great to be on with you all.
I know. And you know, this morning as I was preparing for the show with all the stuff that you do for all God's children on this magnificent planet, my friend sent me this beautiful quote by Bob Marley. And I don't know why, but I posted it this morning, and it was so sweet, and it reminded me of all the wonderful things you are doing for people to try to get Medicaid expanded so that we can have a healthy, happy nation with comprehensive health care year-round. And the quote says, Ellen, I think you had seen it as well by Bob Marley. It says, what you send out comes back. What you sow, you reap. What you give, you get. What you see in colors exists in you. Do not judge, so you will not be judged. Radiate and give love, and love will come back to you. Amen,
threefold.
Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty
good. Amen, yeah.
What a way to start the Monday with the man, the legend, Bob Marley, right?
Right. Oh, I thought you were talking about Scott.
I know, that's what I was saying.
Okay, Scott, so bring us up to speed. I mean, a lot of things are happening. We want to talk today about the State Health Advocacy Organization that would be holding I think you guys are having a health summit on the 25th and the 26th. But before we do all of that, let's talk to you, like Ali said, Scott, the man. And, to bring us up to speed what you're working on and how you got started with Florida Voices for Health.
Yeah, so actually, you know, we're a health advocacy organization, and our mission is to increase access to care for low-income and middle-income Floridians. And so for myself, like when I started in school and just actually where I was raised, the story starts all the way back in Miami, right? A son of two Haitian immigrants, I watched people work their fingers to the bone and not have any access to care, and a lot of people suffer as a result. So seeing that up close really just lived with me day in, day out. I just stuck with it, and I'm fortunate to get to work towards solving that problem in, like, my daily life, you know? So us as Voices, we're really working on Medicaid expansion, like you mentioned, for those who are making less than the federal poverty limit, who also don't get access to Medicaid in the state because of how restrictive the program is. We're working to increase access for them. But I think what we all know is true is that healthcare is expensive for everyone, whether you have health coverage or not. And so as Voices, we try to talk to people and collect their stories, but also empower them to share their own stories. And it's in that process we come across all of the other things that are happening in the health system, you know?
Yes.
You have people who are on the disabilities wait list, the 22,000 people who are waiting for home and community-based services. You have people who are trying to afford prescription drugs and the runaway costs that we see there. We have 6 million Floridians living in dental shortage provider areas, you know, where there just are no dentists available whatsoever. And, you know, I can go through a whole list, and I feel like eventually everyone's going to find themselves in one of these lists. And so our work at Voices is just trying to take that whole thing on piece by piece and hopefully building community as we do that.
Right. And it's very, very interesting to watch what's happening in Tallahassee and see how, you know, some of the lawmakers, you can speak with them and reach them from the heart, and they can be reasonable. And then others, they don't understand that there is a gap. There are people that could write a check for insurance. There are people that can get health insurance from their employer. There are people that can go on the exchange and buy it for you know, less than the normal cost. And there are those that are struggling just to put tires on the car and food on the table, pay rent, and send a kid to school. And those are the people that Florida Voices are fighting for so that they can get Florida Medicaid for themselves and their children. And these people, in the long run, would save a lot of money because they're not showing up in the ER sick, correct?
Honestly, yeah, we would all save that money. You know, there are plenty of studies because we're now the last 10 states to expand. So we've been able to watch the experiment play out in a bunch of other places. One of the things we see, and I don't think we talk about it enough, is that when you do expand Medicaid, the cost of private insurance actually goes down 7% or more for everyone else because we're not all subsidizing that, like, more expensive care in emergency rooms. And, you know, insurance companies don't have to factor in the larger uninsured pool because they're covered in Medicaid. And then that's not to say anything for those low-income Floridians themselves who don't have access to coverage and what the security of coverage provides all of us, right? The ability to go find a different job if we need it, the ability to to do those jobs full-heartedly without being so scared of getting hurt and being unable to work, period. Yeah, there's nothing but money that would be saved. And for the state itself, I think our partners at the Florida Policy Institute, they did a report that I always cite, but expansion would save the state $200 million a year. And so that's what we have at stake, and we haven't moved on yet.
So what's the, Scott, this is Ellen, what's the argument for the other side of why we're not?
The arguments are always the same, and they're always nonsensical. The first being that the people who would benefit from this, right, are those, and I think actually they say the same thing about people who are on Medicaid, as we see now with the work requirements conversation that's bubbling up. It's that these folks are lazy, able-bodied people who should be working and, like, are being lazy and aren't working and, you know, whatever, and we can't just give them giveaways. But we know that over 60% of the people who are in the coverage gap are actually working one or two jobs, or at least working a part-time job. We know that a large chunk of the remaining 40% are students or people with disabilities that just aren't officially recognized. For anyone who's tried to get on disability before, you know that there are very specific rules and your disability has to present in a very specific way for you to count. And there are plenty of people who just don't get that recognition. So any number of reasons to point at that, like, that one talking point is wrong. We also know that there are plenty of people who are working, and because of where our Medicaid eligibility limit is, right, it's about 31% of the poverty level, which translates into about $7,000 for the year if you're in a family of three, right? So if you're a parent, you literally can't make more than $7,000 that year or you lose your Medicaid coverage. Now, if I'm working, what's my incentive to, like, do better and to get a raise?
Really?
Because I've rarely seen a raise that takes you from Medicaid eligibility, that skips over the coverage gap and takes you over the poverty limit. You know what I mean? So, yeah, there's that. It's on its face, it doesn't make any sense, and I would push back on that.
Right. Sad, too, is, like, we see people all the time in our friends and family circle, people we see at the grocery stores or hairdressers, you know, people that we do business with, and if you open your mouth and you start speaking with them, they'll tell you, I have no insurance. Because by the time they do exactly what you're saying, send their kid to school, pay the rent, pay your car insurance, you know, put food on the table, they don't have that extra $300-$400 a month to buy health care for themselves. And it really makes no sense for our lawmakers not to put themselves in the shoes of the people that they're serving. It makes no sense to say, oh, he's a lazy person or she's a, yeah, you know what? Maybe there's one or two people like that, but let's be honest, the majority of people are living paycheck to paycheck.
Well, and a lot of people that are in the hospitality industry don't have, you know, they do the best that they can to try and teach people about the Affordable Care Act and how they can do that. But once again, you know, with tips and so forth, it puts them right in that gap coverage rate that they can't, that they would have to pay an astronomical amount. That's why, you know, from my perspective, Sita, you know that I teach people all the time to open up a company so that way they can get free mm-hmm. coverage. And that's kind of the only loophole that I found for people that are, especially in hospitality or something like that. If they open up a company, they get based on their
income.
So if the company, it doesn't say anything about the company income. So if they can keep their income that they get themselves under that threshold so that they can get free insurance, that kind of works out. Unfortunately, the other side of it is they can't get a mortgage, they can't get a car payment, because unfortunately they don't look at the company stuff, they look at your personal income.
Well, you know,
so
what
it's
you have
that
to catch
22.
You tell them your health is your wealth.
That's right, exactly. But I mean, it's just so crazy that our people need to learn this type of kind of strategy, if you will, to circumvent something that we should already have,
right,
that we should already have in place.
Well, thank you. Yeah,
the Medicaid
expansion. You're giving them, some hope, right, for people
who
don't.
Yeah, well, there's a way to do it, but unfortunately, there's, you know, it's a big loop to try and get there.
So, Scott, well, tell us, what is the Florida Voices for Health Summit all about? I know we're all excited about this, and I know it's happening right here in Rockledge, right?
Yeah, right down the street. And, you know, I'm happy we started this by talking about the issues, because that's really what's at the heart of this conference. There's so many things happening, right? If you tune into what's happening in Tallahassee, if you tune into what's happening locally, we see all the need that exists. And what we try to do as voices is create a space where, yeah, people who want to work on these issues, people who want to find other people who are working and talking about these things, can come together and start to build that community and that larger movement that we're talking about. So the summit itself, it's a health policy conference, you know, for lack of a better term, but it's really meant to be A, informative about those policy changes that are happening, but also it's about advocacy. It's about sharing those practical tools on how to get out there and create change. I know we have a couple of sessions planned on things like how to launch an advocacy campaign and how to execute an effective communication strategy, but then there'll also be moments where you can connect with, you know, local folks, people who are from the Brevard area, but also you'll hear what's happening in other communities around the state. And also even we have just one panel specifically where our partners from other southern states, we're in a coalition called Southerners for Medicaid Expansion, but you'll get to hear what people in North Carolina and Georgia and Tennessee are also battling, you know. You won't be surprised that it's a lot of the same that we're seeing here in Florida, but, you know, it's that sense of solidarity that we want folks to be able to walk away with. If you care about healthcare and increasing access, this is a place to come find your tribe, basically.
Wow. So, Scott, this is Allie. Hi, go Gators. I'm glad to see another UF grad here with us. I was wondering if there are some major healthcare issues that face the state.
Yeah, and I'm happy we just talked about the big one, right, that we always talk about, which is expansion. But we see what's happened in this past legislative session. The bill that's being worked on gender-affirming care, we're seeing one bill move that's requiring hospitals to report on the immigration status of the people that they serve. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's, right, the ultimate outcome of those bills, I think, are still kind of in the air. Unfortunately, like a little less in the balance than we would hope. But we kick off the whole summit with a couple of really keyed-in lobbyists and folks who just work exclusively up in Tallahassee who are going to walk us through these things, like walk us through what happened during legislative session, what was motivating some of it, what some of the anticipated impacts are, and how we can kind of take steps forward. And then there's also the unwinding of the public health emergency. So we know that there are, 5 million people enrolled in Florida Medicaid currently who all have to go through the redetermination process. And what we're beginning to see is it's concerning. There are folks who still qualify who are being kicked off of the program, and there are folks who fall in the coverage gap who now have no access to care whatsoever. So we'll have a panel dedicated to that specifically where we'll hear from some of the navigators who are helping these folks go through the redetermination process, but also FQHCs that serve these individuals and some of our policy partners who are looking at a high level at what DCF, the Department of Children and Families, is doing about it.
Right. So, Scott, who is the audience for this summit? Who is it that you're trying to raise the light for?
Yeah, and it's actually the thing I'm probably most excited about and proud of, right? I feel like a lot of health policy conferences like this tend to be for people, for lack of a better word, like me, who work in the space, who are at nonprofits or work at hospital systems, right, or service providers themselves. And so, yes, it's for those people who are working to serve the communities that we look to help in any number of ways. But what I'm most excited about is that we also, because us as an organization, we work directly with those people who have the stories. They'll also make up a large part of this audience. People who are activists and advocates themselves at home who are looking for a way to get involved and to do something, this will also be a space for them. And I guess I've rarely been in a space where those two groups of people are together having the same conversation, and that's what we're trying to create in this space.
So, it's geared for everyone, not just people working in healthcare and social workers and nurses and doctors and nurse practitioners and people who run nonprofits. The audience you're talking about would be us, the people in Brevard.
Exactly. anyone who wants to do something about the world that we're living in.
So now Ellen has found a really great way of people getting coverage through the Affordable Care Act. And I hope you can go, Ellen, because what Ellen has been teaching people about opening a business and trying to get the insurance from the exchange through your business is a really good tool for people to know about. And I think that would be a help. She can be an advocate to help with that. But talk to us a little bit about the cost, the time, and the registration for this summit.
Yeah, so the conference is happening May 25th and 26th at the Space Coast Health Foundation. Right now, the cost for general admission is $50, but actually for our community partners and for those listening to the show right now, they're invited to join us at our community partner rate, which is just $25. And you don't have to do anything special for that. You just go to fvhsummit.org and purchase a ticket, and we would love to have you. It goes over 2 days. That first day, at the end of that first day, there'll be kind of a networking happy hour opportunity, and then we return the next day for kind of a half day just to talk a little bit about the future of Medicaid and one or two other policy things. And yeah, just I'm really excited at the end of that second day to have a big conversation with everyone about what we do as a group of people looking to create a movement around healthcare. So yeah, there'll be a really good chance to kind of interact with everyone.
And Scott, what if someone can't come on the Thursday, but they can come on Friday? Is there, would they get a reduced rate or maybe, because, you know, a lot of people are working, but they might be able to take one day off or something. Can they attend one day out of the 2 day session?
So I would encourage those folks to actually just reach out to us directly to let us know. Yeah, if you shoot me an email at scott@healthyfla.org, we can make that work out. And there will also be a virtual option that goes live in a couple of weeks.
Right. And, you know, there's always that group of people that would say, well, why is this important to the advocates and the activists? Why should I attend a two-day healthcare advocacy or summit when I could get all this stuff online? You know, people, you always have that. So why should people attend? Give us some of the takeaways, what they will walk away with.
So there's the information itself, right? Like to get clued in on policy from the experts, the people who are working it and living it every day. But then there's also the tools that we are kind of designing the conference to leave people with, to give them a sense of how to go about doing the work. Because it can feel intimidating to try to do advocacy, especially if you're one person or if you're in a small group of people. This is meant to give folks confidence to go back out into the world and really fight for the things that they're looking to get. But what I'll say is, because it's a fair point, right? Like, why, if I can watch it virtually, should I show up and do it in person? And I'll say that I went to a conference last week where I ran into a couple of people I haven't seen in years, right, as we've all lived through the pandemic. And I don't think we can underestimate. It's hard to overstate the impact of relationship, right? As you meet people and you're in the same room with them and you're talking and sharing an experience, I don't think we can talk enough about the impact that that has, for me personally, how much juice I get from that. So if you're, you know, like me, you read the news every day and you're feeling a little overwhelmed, sometimes a little hopeless, here's a chance to come get some of that juice, to get back out there and, yeah, keep doing the hard work.
Yeah. And, you know, I just have to say to our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Scott Darius, and he's the Executive Director of Florida Voices for Health. And we're speaking about Medicaid and advocacy and what all of us could do collectively to get more people covered and have affordable and accessible health care. You know, Scott, and thank you so much for being our boots on the ground and digging in those trenches in Tallahassee and all over our state and fighting for people so that they can have equality and health care. I mean, so many people are so happy when a child is born or when someone is pregnant, but then what happens after the kid is born? It needs a place to live. It needs health care. Kid needs to go to school,
well,
college,
and one of the biggest things
you got to pay attention.
I'm not sure if it's true or not still, but one of the biggest reasons why people file for bankruptcy is because of health bills, health care bills.
Oh, and, absolutely. Right? The leading reason.
So it's, yeah. it's an amazing thing that there's so many people that are in this type of peril and yet not realizing that healthyflorida.org could actually be their activist voice and be able to participate in something where you've got people that are fighting for you. And again, connecting to these resources is what Viewpoint with CETA and Friends is all about, is that we want to get people connected to the right things, and they're not sitting back saying that there's no solution for me or there's no resource for me. There's a resource for everyone. We're just trying to make sure everybody knows about them.
Right. We're trying to help Scott spread the word.
Amen.
That when they take the time, energy, and effort to plan a summit such as the one happening here in Rockledge on the 25th and 26th, that it's not enough to say, I'm going to show up, but to actually show up and learn something.
And it looks like Anna's going to be there too.
And take it away to the community so that you could help other people. So, Scott, I mean, in your opinion, Scott, what are the biggest challenges facing the healthcare industry today?
I think for people, it's cost, right? It always boils down to cost. And it's been hard to penetrate that because people's voices are, there's that huge disconnect between the people making the rules and the voice of the people who are actually living and having, right, like having their lives impacted by those rules. So bridging that gap feels like the biggest challenge. And our work, what we're trying to do is fan the flames of, right, like on the side of the people, where how do we give or create the spaces where we can build our voices, join them together, and actually have that impact. I think that's the exact problem we're trying to solve, to like do something, to eventually do something about how high the costs are. And then if it's okay, just to quickly mention, because I think it might be relevant to the people who are listening. Everyone, if you've been around in the Space Coast or in Brevard at all, I think you probably know Tess Martin and the really great work that she's done as an advocate there locally and around the state. So one of the reasons I'm excited about this conference, it's a really good chance, our first good chance, to really honor Tess and the work that she's done over all these years. So we're recognizing her as our healthcare champion this year. And just really giving her the praise she deserves for the really good work she's done there locally and around the state all these years.
And I haven't seen Tess for a while, so I might show up on the Friday if I can get away. But you know, one of the things about Medicaid, the expansion, it has significantly improved health outcomes and experienced fiscal benefits since expanding the program. And I do hope that people pay attention, because it does raise the quality of the care, not just here in Florida, but in all 50 states we are seeing, where people, when they have access to a healthcare provider, whether it's medical or dental or even vision, whatever it is, the outcomes are that those people can live a healthier, more productive life.
Longer life.
Yeah, and I really appreciate what you are doing, Scott, because you know, you do it with such humility and grace, and it's not a Republican or Democrat issue. It's a humanitarian issue to provide health care for the citizens of the country in which we live.
Indeed.
I can't thank you enough. So give us your website if someone wanted to go on and learn more about the work that you're doing, as well as register for this summit on the 25th and 26th that Florida Voices for Health is putting on.
Yeah, they can just visit the fvhsummit.org. So not the, but fvhsummit.org. Or you can go to our main website, healthyfla.org. And the one last thing I'll leave you with is actually a Bob Marley quote. I'll leave you with a Bob Marley quote to close this out. But good. If you are the big tree, we're the small axe. And I think that's what we want to accomplish at the conference, is to sharpen the small axe that we are to take on, you know, the powers that be.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling in and sharing all of that knowledge. Hopefully we'll get a lot of folks out there to Rockledge on the 25th and 26th. And we're going to listen to our sponsors real quick, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with CETA and Friends right after these messages.
Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud 9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9.
Welcome Mattress to MedFast Urgent Care. We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast, think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads. 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
This is a certified public accounting and a registered.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in the beautiful, sunny Cocoa, Florida today. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. Ellen, we are worldwide, like real worldwide, like Vietnam worldwide.
It's so funny that you bring that up. I've got so many friends that are visiting Thailand and Vietnam this week. It's amazing. Anyway, yeah, 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that listen live button, get us on any one of your streaming devices, or you can get our archive shows, which again, 14 years, a lot of stuff on there.
A lot of stuff.
You just have to go on demand and then you just look for the date.
Right. And for our listeners who are just tuning in, we sit here every Monday, each and every Monday, I like to say, from 1 to 2, and we speak about kitchen table topics, issues that are going on right here in Brevard County, Florida, in the state of Florida, in the United States, all over God's planet. My gosh, we had somebody that just called in from Bangladesh the other day.
That's right.
And so, what is life about, right? It's about finding your purpose and trying to leave a healthy footprint behind for the next generation and our own children. And it's all, most of our guests are like-minded, and everybody wants to leave a good footprint behind. At some point, we have to say, why am I here? And what can I do to contribute to the lives of others to make the world a happier and healthier place, right? And so our friend Nikki Fried is no different. She's on the phone, and she's calling in on the second segment. She is my friend, and she is the chairwoman for the Florida Democratic Party, which is just awesome.
And another University of Florida grad.
Oh, well, look at Allie. I know. Keeping score with Scott Darius. And I'm telling you, Allie, I'm looking at her, and I know she wants to get that in. So, Nikki, the former commissioner of agriculture. Yeah, she's a former agriculture, the commissioner of agriculture. She's an attorney, an activist. You're just an all-around good person. And thank you for taking the time to call in on our show today. Bring us up to speed.
Thank you.
Tell us what happened. So you ran against Charlie Crist, and then that didn't work out. And that's okay. That's life sometimes. And now you were elected the chair of the Florida Democratic Party. How does it feel?
Everybody kept telling me as I was deciding to make this decision to run for chair, why would you jump onto the Titanic after it hit the iceberg? And that's kind of the sentiment of the November elections here in Florida. And, you know, even in your opening, what you just said, you know, what is my purpose in life? And, you know, I come from the Jewish faith, and so much of what I was taught growing up is what we say, tikkun olam, to heal the world. And so every day I wake up and say, what can I do to make the world, my state, my community a safer and better place? And so I took the ultimate dive and decided to run for chair. And now it's about rebranding, rebuilding, and gaining trust back that so many people have lost faith and trust in the Democratic Party of Florida. And it's going to be my job to bring the diverse voices to the table to make sure that we are truly representing the people of our state. And we've got a lot of work to do, but I know that I'm not doing this alone. There are people all across the state that are ready to create balance back in Florida government.
Yeah, and when I think of you, Nikki, I think of you as a uniter. I think you are just a person to unite not just the Florida Democrats, but to unite people. It's about all of us. It's not about who is blue and who is red. At the end of the day, when someone goes to bed at night, if they're that lucky to have a bed, because there's so many people that don't have a home, most people are thinking about, well, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to pay my car payment? How am I going to send my kids to school? Do I have health insurance? My grandparents will have to go into a nursing home. Do I have the time, energy, and effort to care for them? People have real life issues. And how do we bring everyone together to say, listen, you may not be worried about your child's education today, but you may have to worry about it tomorrow. You may not worry about an aging parent today, but it's coming. You may not worry about arthritis, but your bones are getting old. You'll need health care. How do we tell people that don't try to put yourself in other people's shoes?
Yeah, I mean, that is exactly what, you know, I do try to do. You know, every time that somebody voted for me, you know, I recognized that they were giving me their proxy, that they had faith and trust that I was going to get up every day and I was going to put them at the forefront of my decision-making. And that's what we have to get back to here in politics. And I see it every single day on social media, which is just horrible. I don't care if you're left, right, center, up, down. It is just a world that divides instead of unites. And so I really try to put myself into people's shoes. And I have a lot of life experiences. You know, I was my parents are in their early 70s. My grandmother's 93, took a horrific fall last week. So I'm worried about, you know, making sure that she's being taken care of when she goes to the hospital that night. Or my mom's telling me that at 72, she's, you know, her policy's been dropped and now she needs to get a citizen's policy because that's all that's left. And it's going to increase her insurance policy almost by $8,000 a year, and she's on a fixed income. So I try to really look at it from people's perspectives and find ways to reach across the aisle. How do we work together? You know, I grew up in a family where my dad is a staunch Republican. Staunch Republican. I was actually afraid to tell him that I was chair of the party now. I got myself arrested a couple weeks ago protecting, a woman's right to choose. Staunch Republican. And my mom was a teacher. And so she has, you know, been a Democrat, though, for her entire life. And I was always brought up that no matter how extreme you might be on a policy perspective, there's always a middle ground. But if you stop talking to one another, you can't get there. And you have to find those opportunities to unite people, to find that common ground, because we know that there's more that unites us than divides us, and we've got to get back to having those conversations instead of just yelling at each other across the aisles and unwilling to, you know, put down the swords for the best interest of the people that we govern.
You know, you're so right. I went to get my hair flat ironed for a big shindig this past weekend. And as I'm sitting in the chair at the beauty salon, there was an 18-year-old girl that just registered to vote. There's, of course, the hairstylist, another stylist, and there's a woman with two children, and we're all in the salon. And I happened to mention that, you know, the lady was asking me who's coming on my show this week, and I said Nikki Fried, the chair of the Democratic Party. And the young girl said, yeah, she was just arrested for protecting a woman's right to choose. And she says, I so love that woman. And then I said, oh, well, God, this is a safe space for me. So we started talking, and the girl said to me, she said, you know, I've been watching what's happening. And she said, I told her my name, and she says, Masita, that is so wrong. She said, because it's almost as if some of the state legislators, they believe that women cannot make their own decision about their own bodies. And she says, I'm 18 years old and I can make decisions, and many women can. So she said, you make sure you tell Nikki Fried that I said thank you.
That's amazing. Yeah, this is one of those issues that transcends partisan politics. You know, that 75% of Floridians want access to reproductive health care, want access to that right to choose. That crosses over Democrat, Republican, Independent, the individuals that aren't even registered to vote. And so this is something that, you know, I've had a lot of time talking to religious leaders, talking to women who may be personally pro-life themselves, but they don't want to make that decision for somebody else. You know, I go back also to even my Jewish roots. You know, we are taught that life begins at birth. And so to put religion as a deciding factor on this very personal, very hard decision is the whole premises of separation of church and state, that government isn't supposed to be involved in these types of conversations and these decisions. And it's really unfortunate that right now our state is moving backwards, our country is moving backwards, and unfortunately we're seeing a state legislature who is not listening any longer to their constituents.
Yeah. And why do you think that's happening, Nikki? Because it used to be that people can agree to disagree respectfully. People can go to a town hall meeting and they can speak to each other without the fear of getting shot. People can just say, listen, I understand where you're coming from. You have a higher education, you make more money, you can afford all these things. But listen to me, I'm the one cleaning your cars, I'm cleaning your homes, I'm caring for your children in the daycare. And if you speak with daycare attendants, they will tell you that half of the people that bring kids, they should not have brought those kids into the world. Because a lot of those teachers, I was talking to a couple of young girls at a rally once, and they were like 19, 20 years old, and they were telling me that some of these children show up to the daycares dirty, the families don't bring them food or diapers or milk, and a lot of them are, you know, single moms or divorced moms. And the girls were saying to me, we wish there was more comprehensive sex education in our schools to help these women. Of course, that's a big thing now. People don't want to talk about it. But what do you say to these young people that are deciding, well, they don't want to have children because of what they're seeing, that people who do have kids, a lot of them are barely making ends meet?
Yeah, that's a significant problem. Right now, the state of Florida is the number one most unaffordable state in the nation, that we are seeing our salaries under the national averages. Even as this week, I'm seeing legislation move through to cut living wages. And unfortunately, there's not enough services. And so we kind of look at this from a holistic perspective, that if we're in a state right now where a woman can't, I mean, look, we just passed, the legislature and Republicans just passed a six-week abortion ban, which is basically an all-out ban. Most women don't know that they're pregnant within 6 weeks, and even if they do, to be able to get to a doctor's office within those 2 weeks and to get an appointment is near to impossible. And so now you're forcing, you know, these women to have birth and then not give them services afterwards. We're cutting all of our social services. We're providing less opportunities for people to get onto SNAP benefits, healthcare benefits. We're one of the worst in the nation on access to healthcare, not just reproductive healthcare, just healthcare totality. And unfortunately, our foster care system, as somebody who's also worked in the foster care system, there aren't enough beds for the children that are already in the system, not enough parents willing to adopt children. And so we're going to have this perfect storm where there's going to be less access to education, making it taboo to talk about sex in school. And meanwhile, I think it's the silliest thing in the entire world. Everybody's got cell phones or access to Google at this point. And so preventing, that conversation in school, making it taboo, they're going to learn it on their own and not in a healthy and safe manner. And then, unfortunately, they're going to have not the right education and be forced into these situations. And then that's it. And I want to just give a perspective of things that we're getting into a situation. Let's just say, a high school cheerleader, captain the cheerleaders, captain the football team, they get pregnant. What happens to her in these circumstances? She's taken away, potentially never again. And the high school football player goes off to an Ivy League, university, college, and his life is fine. And meanwhile, this woman's life is destroyed forever.
Right, and that happens, Nikki. I mean, that happens a lot.
Yep.
Where the woman suffers more than the man. But here's the thing, too. It's like, we all know that the best way to prevent an unwanted, unloved pregnancy, an oops pregnancy, is to promote comprehensive sex education as well as academic and trade. Nobody is disputing the fact. But there are some families that just don't talk to their young ones about sex education, where babies come from, how the babies are formed, what happened. And so I think our state is going so backward that now it feels as though we really have been clamped down on free speech. Do you feel at times like, sadly, certain politicians want to dumb down the society?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, look, just literally a few hours ago, the governor suspended the duly elected state attorney from Orange County because he doesn't believe how she's been prosecuting cases. And so you're seeing elected officials being removed from office for using their First Amendment rights. Even look at what happened to Disney. That is their First Amendment rights of being able to speak out on policies that are happening here in the state of Florida. And look at the retribution that is being, being spun on to Disney. You're seeing even me. I got arrested 2 weeks ago, peacefully protesting outside of City Hall. And you're seeing professors, teachers being fired across our state from speaking out. It is making people more cautious and more nervous. I'm speaking out because I'm afraid of being removed from office, afraid of being, imprisoned. And that's a very chilling effect.
But
on
why? I mean, at some point, the people who are reasonable in our country and in our world, I mean, we all want to leave a kinder, gentler, more mindful world when we leave the planet. No, none of us is here forever. And the good Lord knows I'm a long-term care nurse. I've witnessed a lot of people leaving our planet. And when people leave, the last one who are holding their hands in a hospice or a nursing facility, that person who's dying and going to their maker, they don't say, are you gay? Are you straight? Are you rich? Are you poor? What they say is, can you pray for me? Can you pray for my family? Can you pray for my grandchildren? And some of them will even tell us, I'm worried about my disabled son because he's living in my home and his siblings are probably going to throw him out. Some of them say to us, I'm dying, but I want to repent because I did wrong things in my life. And so I see humanity, and now I feel, I watch where professors, doctors are afraid. So many people are afraid of what's going on because they feel as though the freedom that they had to speak and be a human that can care about someone else, it's been taken away. And the big question is, why?
Well, unfortunately, not to go partisan here for a second, but unfortunately, we've got a governor who has one ambition, and that's to run for president. And so he has created this agenda of suppression, of really catering to an extreme part of his party, and that entails sometimes those individuals that see the gay community as sinners, that sees anybody that doesn't look like them, sound like them, pray like them as somebody to be pushed down. And unfortunately, he's running on this very quote-unquote anti-woke agenda, which I'm sure that 95% of your listeners have no idea what that even means.
I don't think he does.
And so unfortunately, he's doing this, and the legislature is just enabling him. They're all voting for these pieces of legislation, hoping to ride the red carpet with him up to the White House. Mm. And unfortunately, are losing their own morals and losing their own, you know, ethics codes in order to support him running for president.
So,
and
Nikki,
it's unfortunate that so many people are hurting because of it.
Yeah. So Nikki, this is Allie. I was just wondering, what can the Democratic Party do to gain more strength in Florida and maybe open some very closed minds?
Yeah, and that is exactly what I wake up every single morning when I sleep, because I don't do that a lot these days, but it's going to take a lot. It's going to take us having those hard conversations, but most importantly, going to the conversations like we started this one on, economics, the issues that are actually impacting the people of our state. If you care about these social issues, you've already drawn the line in the sand that you're either a staunch Republican or a staunch Democrat. Where there's 75% of the people that are in the center that don't understand why we're having even this conversation, we as Democrats have to go back to, you know, we want less government. You know, I feel like the Democrats are flipping the script on what the Republicans used to be about. Less spending, as the legislature just approved another $1 million of a blank check for DeSantis and $6 million for litigation fees. So less government, less spending, free market, you know, local government. Those are types of things, and talking about the economic policies that are impacting the people of our state. We know that a vast, vast majority of the people of our state agree with us on our policies. So we got to get back to having those policy conversations and not the triggering social issues that really only impact on either side a very small minority. We got to talk about those issues, and we got to go everywhere. We got to make sure we're going to the reddest parts of our state, into our rural communities. We got to go back and talk to our demographics that have been left out, including our Black and Hispanic communities and our AAPI communities. There's a lot of people who we have not been talking to and taken for granted, and that stopped when I took the gavel on February 25th.
You know, Nikki, one of the things that I hear a lot, and, you know, I'm a talker. I could talk to a wall, and I could get something out of the wall. a lot of people, the wall would say, I want to be yellow, not white. But what I find is, you know, I'm Indian. My great-grandparents came from India. My husband's Persian. I have a lot of friends from the Caribbean community, and I have a lot of friends from the Middle East. And most of them are very open-minded and moderate. But what I hear people saying a lot is that the Democratic Party messaging is poor. Because a lot of people agree that we should be working on health insurance issues. We should be working on homeowners insurance. People are concerned about the book banning at schools. People do agree with age-appropriate materials for children in school. But most people are saying that we didn't know how to message that some politicians are able to take a very small issue and make a tissue out of an issue. So here's the thing. How do we get back to messaging that when you wake up, you need to see a dentist, you need to get eyeglasses, you need to pay your house, you need to put gas in your car, put food on the table, send your kids to school, pay for college, put tires on your car, you're working in a kitchen, and you just got burned and you have no health insurance. These are people with real issues.
Yep.
How does the Democratic Party get back to people issues and let go of all these culture wars? Not let go 100%, but kind of sort of say, listen, let's get back to the economy.
Well, you're seeing the Democrats in Florida this legislative session do a lot of that. And we're talking a lot more to each other, making sure that our message is honed in. If you watch what a lot of the Democrats were doing this legislative session, fighting back about all this, they continue to say, why are we focused on this? We got to go back and focus on the economy. Even when we're talking about higher ed and the attacks on diversity and inclusion and programming, you know, we talk about why is that important, and not talk about the social issues of why it's important, but talk about that employers want to hire well-trained, diverse, both diversity on intellect, but understanding and diversity in the workforce types of people. And so we have to always get back to the economy, and that's part of my job, to help Democrats message in, hone in on what impacts the people of our state. We all know about the culture wars. We all see it. We all feel it. And we're you know, impacted by every day because of some of these laws that are being passed in the Florida legislature. It is going to be incumbent upon the Democrats to make sure that we are not all over the place. Hone in on those three or four issues that impact people in a totality. That's education, that's health care, that's property insurance, that is just affordability of everyday lifestyle. And when you focus on those issues that transcend partisan politics, and that's how I won in 2018, Commissioner of Agriculture, talked about issues that transcended partisan politics, you're going to find that the pendulum is going to swing back, and it's going to swing back faster and harder because the extreme that has happened from the Republican Party, and it's going to be incumbent upon the Democrats to make sure that we are well-poised talking about the issues that are impacting the people.
Right, and the other thing is, too, like, people should be having these kitchen table topics on a daily basis. If you know someone who's buying a home, talk about refinancing. Talk about interest rates. Talk about mortgages. If you know someone who's going off to college, talk about the professors. Talk about what you're going to study, what how much you're going to, your potential to earn. I think people need to sit down and talk with their families and friends, most importantly, about voting. A lot of our laws have changed. For example, if you were receiving a ballot by mail, you have to re-register for the ballot for mail. We have 1 minute left. Can you quickly tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, my dear Nikki Fried, chair of the Florida Democratic Party, the importance of voting?
It's imperative that democracy does not work if people don't use their voice. Government is for the people, by the people. And in order for it to work, the people need to show up. And when you don't show up, you see what's happening in our state right now, where the minority is ruling for the majority. And so voting is, you know, not only your ability to express what's important to you, but to make sure that you're getting elected officials that represent you.
Well, if somebody wanted to reach you, what's the easiest way to drop you a line or send you a comment or even ask for some of those topics that they could speak about with their family and friends around their kitchen tables? Give us any, do you have any information where anyone could contact you, Nikki Fried?
Absolutely. First of all, I'm all over social media, so feel free to go on to my Twitter, which is Nikki Fried, and also my email is very simple. It's Nikki, N-I-K-K-I. @floridadems.org.
And you are so right. Democracy only works if our citizens are contentious. I believe Ben Franklin said that, like, back in the waybacks, right? So thank you so much for joining us today. I hope everyone gets all of this information on our Facebook page, as well as the blog that will be posted this afternoon here on our CETA Media Inc. website. And we will be right back here, Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, each and every Monday here on 1510 WWBC.